I'm James.
I'm Carrie.
I'm Lacey.
And I'm Lee at Just One More Fix.
A proud member of the Gunna Geek Network.
Just like the show you're listening to now.
The opinions expressed are those of each individual host.
Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com.
And get ready, because geekiness begins in
three, two, one.
And girls, pets and creatures of every make and model, fans of entertainment and shenanigans alike, welcome back to Legends Podcast. I'm Beef.
I'm Wing.
I'm John O'Lobster from Gremlins director Joe Dante and Steven Spielberg's Amblin Entertainment. Comes 1987's Innerspace, a sci-fi comedy that dares to ask the question, what does the inside of Martin Short look like when Dennis Quaid is shrunk down to microscopic skies? But are the laughs to scale? Let's find out.
Can the laughs cover his receding hairline?
Oh, dear God. By the way, you didn't put a long pause. I thought that was your presentation, that you were Martin Short insides. But
I am Martin Short's insides. There's no question.
You're inside Martin Short's shorts?
I'm inside Martin Short's shorts.
First though, the comb over. Right away, Dennis Quaid's like, my hair is receding really, really bad, but I'm going to fluff it out to the sides. It hurts me as a man with no hair in a receding area. Just shave it, bro.
You have to agree that's the best, easiest paycheck he ever got in his life. He did 3 days on set and 20 days in a pod. That's it.
All right.
3 days on set, though, at Meg Ryan in 1986. God,
sure.
Damn.
Yeah.
I think she's part of my blonde. That's the 80% of my blonde thing right there from my childhood.
Meg Ryan.
Yeah. Because, I mean, this was how many years before whatever, and she's like a robot from now till then. She doesn't age. Till what, 87, 97?
Yeah.
It's funny because I was not a Meg Ryan guy, but as I grew old, right now I'm really a Meg Ryan guy. But
you're feeling
30 years ago,
you've got mail.
Yeah, exactly. I love that one. Okay.
All right. So, Innerspace is one of these movies. I had no idea what to expect with this.
Have you ever seen it before?
Yeah,
no, I'd never seen it
that.
Before.
Wait a
That's
minute.
Beef.
No. No, no, no.
I never seen that before.
Lobster, time out. Shut up. Lobster, you did not see this, but I'm pretty sure you chose this.
I know.
Why?
I saw that it was on Netflix, and I was like, well, what about this movie?
I love you for that.
You did that twice in a row. Twice in a row.
And you
chose some random movie you haven't seen on Netflix, and we suffer for it.
No.
Why would I do a podcast about movies and only watch movies that I've seen?
Lobster, I love you for all of this because you're dragging me by the nose through movies of my childhood that I loved. And now I'm like, oh, God, I really like.
I'm going to give you that. That was better than Death Note. So.
Oh, my goodness. Is she okay?
I think she's having a heart attack.
I think she got killed, but she'll be okay in a couple of minutes.
Okay, she'll spawn in a few minutes, but whatever.
Yeah.
That's editing.
So, part of the reason that I do podcasts about movies is to watch movies that I've never seen or otherwise wouldn't get exposed to. Sometimes you guys suggest them and I'm like, okay. And then sometimes I'm like, well, what about this weird movie I've never seen? Let's talk about that.
I love you for that.
Again, that was still the better movie I watched this week after Death Note. So
Chekhov's hairspray. Chekhov's hairspray sneeze reaction.
Oh, God.
Okay,
yes.
Wait a minute. Oh, wait. Did we talk about this? No, we haven't talked in a couple weeks. Death Note. I want to get there for a second. Right?
No.
I don't have a dog in this fight either way. So
okay, I use it as a butt of a joke.
It is, but they take a 12-hour story and condense it into an hour and a half, and it has none of the depth and none of the poetry of the greater story. But for condensing it down to less than a tenth of the time, it makes me want to rewatch the anime. So if you introduce someone to this property, it's like World War Z. You know, they should have never used this name, but it's a fun property that has some of the same dynamics or similarities to the world. So if you introduce someone to Death Note through the Netflix movie and they kind of like it even at all, you can get, okay, now here, get ready for the mind screw, and you give them the real one.
Like, I'm going to give them the first 6 episodes, which is around the same time, and they're going to get hooked better than
I know. But as whitewashed and shitty as this was, because I don't think it was that whitewashed, but it wasn't as bad as I expected. I'm horrified that Netflix didn't do 6 or 8 episodes, but I thought it was still better than everyone shat on it for. I was still intrigued. The Shimigami Ryuk look better than it has ever looked in a live-action thing.
That I give you.
It was a lot.
That's all I'm going to give you.
It was still pretty fun, though, even though as much as they bastardized some stuff of it. It was a different story with similar elements and a name, like World War Z. You praised World War Z when that came out because it was the same but different, and this is that same shit. It's close enough, but it's not.
No, that's the thing, is that when you watch World War Z, there's nothing from the book, like nothing.
Okay, well, there's maybe a name. Maybe there's
this
a different
is actually
property.
Like you said, a shrink down of 20 hours, not 12, 20 hours of
is it
TV
really
show.
That long?
Yeah, in an hour and a half, which was the worst idea.
When
the fun started, because at some point I was like, oh, they got something, the cat and mouse is gonna start, and changed chapter and nothing really happened, and then we get to, oh, it needs to be impressive and the movie needs to end. This, like you said, this was
should have been 6 or 8 hours.
Yeah, 8 hours miniseries to where you do season one. That's it. And then if it works, you do season two. But
if you listen closely, we can reconvene the Death Note talk.
No, that's the first and last of the.
All right, but what if they shrunk it down and went inside of it? I mean, what if you?
I'd be pretty cool with that. What if they like stuck
Death Note the movie
inside the Shimigami? I could deal
with
that.
There you go.
Well, if they can go inside of it and change its face so I don't recognize it anymore.
Oh my God.
Sure.
How fucked up was that? Facial reconstruction. Why would you have this when you're planning on being jacked into a rabbit? You're going to change the rabbit's face into Dennis Quaid?
Yeah, but the technology he has in there, he sees through your eyes, he talks to you, he plays music.
But see, I like all that.
Space babies.
I like the listening to you. I like, because all that shit seemed plausible in the 80s, right?
Yeah.
Did it?
Yes. Being miniature. We had just seen Terminator and all that other shit. Being miniaturized.
Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Right. Being miniaturized and now adding a listening device on someone's ear. It wasn't anything like futuristic. It was literally a clamp of on the ear low or eardrum.
But let's talk about Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. Honey, I Shrunk the Kids is like a comedy for family, and for some reason it works. Even now it still kind of works. This doesn't work anymore. I mean, it looks old. The humor felt old, and
I don't think it was horrible. I mean, it wasn't good, but it was still, some of the stuff was still kind of funny. It all depends what level of comedy you like. If you can deal with 80s bullshit Hairspray comedy.
You know I can, usually.
As soon as I heard the voice in the pod, like synchronizing, you know, not in different biological mass, I instantly went, I'm back to nostalgic. Whatever you put in here for nostalgic, it's going to get some of that just from that voice.
And I mean, it's the magic school bus, right? It's let's go
wherever.
Let's go explore science things, but also in this weird kind of made up way.
Did you guys have that kind of animation show where there was one they were going through history, another one they were going through the body, another one they were going to the only American history, another one they were going through space and stuff like that?
It was called the Magic School Bus.
Oh, that's what it was in English? Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's exactly what it felt, but
there's
not exactly
also,
for adults.
There's also this part of the movie that doesn't take place inside the body, and that part sucks.
Right. What's
yeah.
okay,
this
but
this whole heist caper that's like most of the movie is pretty lame.
Other than seeing Meg Ryan in her short blonde hair and tight black skirt.
Other than seeing Meg Ryan and the doctor from Star Trek Voyager.
Oh my God.
As the cowboy.
Hey, cowboy.
Cowboy. But.
Wait, hold on. The telephone company bad guys. 1-800-Henchman. This is where it became real for me.
Sure.
I can see that. But look at this script. This is a paint-by-number 80s script.
I didn't know that as a kid.
Yeah, exactly. But it was, we need a weird element. We need a guy that's going to be in a weird spot. We need a partner.
We need the fighter pilot that's too cool to be a fighter pilot.
With the geeky guy.
People
and then
smoking
we're gonna
in
add
grocery
the love
stores.
Story in there. There you
People
go.
Smoking in grocery
oh
stores.
My God. Oh, when he was crawling on his fucking the nerve of his eyeball and he shot a harpoon into it. Like, come on, this is classic 80s bullshit comedy at its worst. But still,
well, and the
it's
whole
a lot
idea
of
Martin Short being the kind of yuppie nebbish or whatever he is.
Well, he's like not a klepto. What's the word? Afraid
hypochondriac.
Thank you. Hypochondriac completely. So now he's worrying about little people floating around him, inside of him. And,
sure.
Yeah.
Is it me or Martin Short career basically died with that kind of movie? Because after, like, Bridesmaid Father or some
Father of the Bride.
Like,
yeah.
Thank you. That was pretty much it for him. After that, he did a couple of things and died
slowly. He definitely was a character actor of his time. It's kind of the same with, like, maybe Rick Moranis. Richard Dreyfuss's career doing these kind of movies, too. Like,
yeah,
Richard
but he reinvented himself.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Martin Short, the only other thing I can think about for him is, like, Overboard that we watched recently. Or
Martin
2 years
wasn't
ago.
Overboard?
No, Captain Ron. Did you guys do Captain Ron?
Oh, Captain Ron. There you go.
Did Captain Ron?
No.
Oh, I want to do.
No, I don't think we did. I hope we did.
Yes, we did.
No, let's do it again.
Yes, we did.
Revisit Pun Masters with us now.
I can revisit Captain Ron anytime you want.
Gorillas?
Captain Ron is a favorite
Gorillas.
Of mine.
Okay. Fills the Flask and the Walkman. I mean, this was right in the, we need to sell Walkmans, so let's do it. And then let's also make our fighter pilot a drunk. So, fill the flask.
So we did Captain Ron around 110 cast ago.
Oh,
that's like 2+ years ago.
Yeah.
Probably 3 years ago with our record.
No one remembers anything.
Not time flies. Cast.
If it was during a different presidential administration, it doesn't count. We can go back to it.
Is that how it works?
I think so.
Oh, we're finally
like
out of the Obama years.
It's like
Thank
if it's
God.
In a different zip code, it doesn't
oh
count.
Oh, my God.
Found something positive in there. Moving on. Back
yes.
to that atrocity that we watched, which has the big
oh
name of
God.
Steven Spielberg
the,
at the start. Where
the
it was
taser
like, oh,
gun?
Yeah.
The taser gun with big quotes, and it's like the wand that shoots the things.
She needs to explain what a taser gun is.
It's a taser. It'll fill you full of electricity.
Right.
Yeah.
Take him out back to the refrigeration truck.
Yeah.
It's just...
Yeah.
It
Guys,
is, God,
this,
it's
and
bad.
This wasn't a long movie, but it went on for a bit.
Oh, wait, wait, like, wait.
Yeah, yeah.
That was a 2 hours to the minute.
Okay. It was
1 hour, 59 minutes, and 11 seconds.
Yeah.
I was
you
like,
know what,
oh,
though?
Dear.
Right there somewhere in the middle, that black leather skirt and Meg Ryan is just really unstoppable. So that bought it an extra, you know, it's only 1 hour and 40 minutes.
She disappears for a good chunk of
the
movie, though. The
whole
though.
Movie. There's like 5 scenes with her. That's
yeah.
it.
All the middle is kind of useless, and it's just like them doing crap.
What's
and
with the whole, okay,
the
wait, let's get to the meat of it, though. What's with the, I want to be alone with your ex, so leave us be, so can you please leave us away so I can profess my love and kiss her? Like, what?
I didn't get that either.
I'd have been like, no, I'm going to tase you from the inside and or burn you.
I would have said sure and stayed there.
How about if I die in here, then you've got a tiny little
right.
skeleton floating around inside you.
That was
well,
so fucked up.
Point.
He does, because the one guy dies. He digests the bad guy.
But, oh, that's okay. Right. The dude with the way more advanced like scuba yes. suit.
Okay. When it turns into James Bond.
Yeah.
Yeah, anybody thought about like Iron Monger at that point? It's sure. Like Iron. You have your Iron Man, and then you go a little bit weirder and more clingy, and they go with the pins, ticking, ticking, ticking. I'm like, okay, we got it. You're evil. You got a claw.
Yeah, but you got to remember, this is way before any of that shit.
I know. I'm just making it like some kids that listen to this show have no idea what we're talking about.
I hope they don't ever
these.
Listen to this show.
No, no one under the age of. What, 15?
Yeah, 16, 16. Well, yeah. Trust me.
Let's say 18. If they're 18, they were not born in 99. They don't give a crap about inner space. Trust
what's
me.
What's a podcast? That's what old people listen to.
Listen, kids at 15 or 16 hear people cuss like we do. So I'm not worried about that. But warping young minds since...
Yeah, that's what we do.
2010.
All right, kids. Meg Ryan is hot. Mm. And... Dennis Quaid is an actor.
Barely.
No. He's sitting in his pod and he's winning that paycheck, one line at a time and what but oh.
Sitting in my tin can.
When he put his Walkman in the machine, there's actually like a red and a yellow cable with a big adapter plug. I was like, oh my God, that technology is not in that thing. That made me laugh a lot.
Best of their time, bro. They didn't know how to convert audio, but they could fucking shrink you down to nano level.
But with a tape recorder, you're right.
Do you think that this movie exists because Joe Dante had very vivid fantasies about impregnating Meg Ryan?
Wait, that's a Joe Dante movie?
Yeah, this is a Joe Dante.
Oh my God.
Don't you listen to the start of the cast?
I know. And he just wanted to imagine what a fetus would look like inside Meg Ryan's uterus. Or he just wanted to be inside Meg Ryan's uterus.
I mean, haven't we all?
Speak for yourself.
Make that 18 or 19 year olds only above listen.
I'll have what she's having.
Oh, hello, God. My baby. Hello, my honey. Okay. That was an alien.
Yeah,
reference.
That
Sorry.
2001 scene was something.
It's all a bit, I don't know. And then shrinking down the bad guys, it all goes a bit Austin Powers, I guess, without, I don't know.
No, it just goes a lot Austin Powers. Yeah. Shrinking the bad guys, but not too small so that they can still be comic relief. And setting up the sequel, oh yeah.
Well, they set up the sequel to freaking... Big Trouble in Little China. So, come on.
Yeah, but I want that sequel.
No shit, me too.
Hollywood will get around to it. You have to wait till they do the Blade Runner sequel, and then they'll come back to this one.
Huh?
Oh, have you guys watched the short from Blade Runner? They released like a 4-minute thing with Jared Leto.
I have not watched it.
So like good.
Yeah, it's called Blade Runner 2039.
Fucking weird. With love, of course, because you're always like, I don't want to know anything about it. Don't tell me about it. I don't want to know more.
Watch that 4-minute right. mini movie.
And then,
sometimes
on other stuff, you're like, give me this random 5-minute prequel.
No, then I've always watched these things. Like the one they did for Alien Covenant was kind of cool, too. And we watched it just before we went to see the movie. But this one, why I jumped on it, was called Blade Runner 2039 and not 2059.
49.
So, 49. So, it's kind of in the past, in their past. So, it sets up
2000
the
what?
Laws.
2039? Like there's turds all over the place?
Turdies.
Every year.
Back in my Everywhere. 40s.
All up on them.
All turdies all the time.
All but Blade Runners.
The point all is replicants. That they set up the tone really, really well, and they set up the replicant thing. So as a Westworld fan, I think he would gonna want to watch that.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
deep cut.
Oh, you fucker. Now you got to tie it into the tone of the turdies from my other podcast.
I think we're going to have a crossover podcast for Blade Runner.
Sweet. She so says sweet.
Turkish bridge. Back to that other turd.
I'm
almost ready to rate it. I mean, there's some highlights. I just can't pick many of them out from my notes.
Their ship listen, is weird, and for some reason he kissed a girl before he jumped on him on it.
There are moments in this film I find enjoyable. There are moments in this film I find funny. They are few and far between. I don't know.
I agree with that assessment.
All right, well, fuck it. Wing 4, Inner Space. Are you going legendary?
An incredible body of work.
Legend of its time.
Quaid pro quo.
Oh, my God. Cult legend.
Anatomy Park.
Wow. Awesome.
Or in that vein.
Entertaining.
The Latin term for funny bone is humorous.
Oh, my God.
The Magic Short Bus.
Forgettable.
Micronaut, watch this ever again.
Abysmal.
Rectum. Damn near killed him.
Spring Breakers Islander.
I couldn't think of one for this. I'll just call it The Cure for Laughter.
I still like it. With a side of nostalgia, guilty pleasure, tingle, barf, tears.
With a side of snot, blood, fetus.
I'm going to give it a Micronaut to watch this ever again. I'm seriously not going to remember this in like 6 months. We're going to be like, Inner Space, I'm going to again be like, oh, is that a space movie? Like the space inside the space where I was freaking expecting, not the go inside Jeff Bridges.
Oh, what you want? Fucking Buckaroo Banzai?
I knew what I was getting into with this, and that was probably part of the what was enjoyable, and probably that was a good thing. I didn't know what I was getting in that in when I actually pushed play. I had no idea. And I saw Steven Spielberg and all these credits, and I was all excited, and then less excited, and less excited, and less excited. And at some point, I started looking at my watch and doing my timers on my game on my phone. So it says a lot. So, oh yeah, Micronaut. Watch this ever again. Beef.
Ah, shit. Okay. I had high hopes for this movie because this is honestly one of my childhood favorites. Lobster, you, when you called this out last week, like my beef dar was like, okay, yeah, I forgot about this. Let's do this.
You never watched the thing you loved were young.
That is the theater and lesson that I have learned from this goddamn podcast. So, with all that being said, there was a lot of it that was fun, but I gotta go. God, Lobster, you gotta stop putting such good names on here. Because it's Mamble, but it's forgettable. And I like them both, because it is the Magic Short Bus. But it all also is, I micro not watch this ever again. So, micro not watch this ever again with a side of ass fat, blood, and fetus. Because away, the first thing you see, Dennis Quaid sees is fuck your face's ass fat.
Yeah.
Lobster.
All right. There's two kinds of movies made from this time period I've discovered from doing this podcast. There's movies like Howard the Duck that were panned when they came out. Like, no one liked them when they came out, but I think they were ahead of their time. And now you can look at them and go, actually, this is for what it is. It's pretty good. Inner Space was very well regarded when it came out.
It was
like it was
the fourth. Yeah. They reviewed it and said it was the fourth best movie of 87.
Yeah. People liked it. And I think it's just one of those movies that's made so for the audience of the time that there's nothing like
it's not even nostalgic. It's just pander.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like when a stand up comedian goes out and says something really obvious just to get applause. Like, America, am I right? The DMV, what's the deal? And people just clap. This movie is the equivalent of that. It's just picking the low-hanging fruit, and there's nothing of substance left for, like, later audiences to go and be like, okay, I see this clever. I see what they did there. That's good. Rectum damn near killed him because I could not make it through my first viewing of this movie and just had to turn it off and then go back to it later. And still, it was a slog. Sorry.
No, don't be sorry. It's, you're the one that said that you didn't feel like it was as long as it was. So
okay, maybe because I watched it in 2 1-hour chunks. I just
true.
Yeah.
Yeah, you should not have done that. I thought about it and I was like, no, if I do that, I'm never gonna want to go back. I need to power through it.
Hey, Wing.
Yeah.
If you use our GroupMe, you would see the links we share about it was the fourth best movie of that year. I'm just saying.
Oh my God.
Inside baseball, everybody.
Hey. No.
Secrets.
I don't want that to be true, okay?
All right.
I just
also
don't want it to be true.
Last I'm word. Also going to add it with a side of bile. Like, woo.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Oh, I sneezed it out on your glasses. It's small enough to fit in your vein, yet I can pick it off with the tweezers. There was some size difference.
Nah, no shit.
What I'm saying.
But you know what? I'm getting you to the turn because we were supposed to watch, because we just looked on Netflix and we found Hot Shot 2 for next week. But after watching this movie and hearing Beef talking about how he loved Inner Space when he was young, we're going to go back to the exact same kind of movie. Movie I loved when I was young. It's with Michael G. Fox and it's called For Love or Money. It's the same kind of romantic bullshit comedy from the
this
end of the
80s. This is barely a romantic comedy. This is a sci-fi comedy.
It's a little bit of romantic comedy.
It is, but
are
not all
that. Are
we
doing
that
before or after all our Halloween movies?
Oh, before. We're going to do that for next week.
Okay.
And as soon as October starts, Lobster, you're preparing us something special.
Yeah, this tradition I think I'm bringing over from Art House Legends, where we did Art House of Horror. So we're going to do 4 or 5, not scary movies, but Halloween-appropriate films
October. We'll probably start getting them out a little earlier than October, because all of us have some things going on in September and October.
It is true.
So anyways, as Wing says, Inside Baseball, last word on Inner Space, y'all.
Blech.
Cowboy.
Face reconstruction. Ew.
How much saliva do they pass through when they French kiss these people? Seriously. It's like a vacuum of water.
Let me just hack up a loogie into your mouth because, you know.
Time.
Oh no, I was chewing gum. Now you're stuck. All right. The box office.
Holy.
The entire box office gets flop alert this week.
Dead. It's all dead. Everyone is dead.
No, it's the road to it. That's what's happening. Yeah. Everybody's waiting for it, and there's nothing
I don't think
good
anybody's,
coming out.
I don't think anybody's waiting for anything. I think that people looked at the box office lineup the last 2 weekends and realized that it looked like the lower pages of Netflix.
I mean, I'd love to see Spider-Man. I'd love to see Hitman's Bodyguard. But guess what? It's the fucking summer, y'all. It's the end of summer. I have the last throes of Ren Fair and the lake and shit to do before it gets frigid.
You say
and hurricanes.
That, but I went
hitting places, well, so people, you know, are like, yeah, maybe I'll stay home.
Yeah, you say that, but I went to see Logan Lucky this weekend, and it's
you and
number
eight
five.
Other people in America.
It's number five. It made $4.4 million.
$4 million.
Wow.
A movie that's been out for how many weeks?
Five. There's only one
that is
movie
so messed up. Oh my God.
That.
But it's pretty good,
it hasn't been out for 5 weeks. I'm sorry. It was in fifth place. But
no, 5 weeks.
That's not what that
you're
means.
Right. God damn it. You're right. Shut up. Sorry. I don't think you know what that means.
When the number one movie at the box office grosses $10 million on a 4-day weekend, those are the 4-day numbers, not the 3-day, the 4-day, including the Monday holiday here in the States.
That's, yeah, but the 3-day weekends were not better numbers. I'll look at them.
No, that's the 4 day. That's 4 days worth of movies. That means it made maybe
2.5-ish a day.
Yeah, 2.5 million a day, if that. This was also the weekend when Inhumans premiered in IMAX.
Everybody's saying it's shit.
Everyone says it's terrible.
Oh, really? I heard from everyone. Not no one I know, but a reviewer too I read that said it wasn't horrible in IMAX.
Yeah, I've heard better. It's an horrible TV show, but it's cute in IMAX. That's what I've heard. So, but even IMAX is like, yeah, we're just gonna leave it there for a week. Then we're gonna use all these theater for it instead, because you know,
okay. That's what I would do.
Yeah, that's what I would do too.
All right. So this is like the lowest box office in 15 years.
Yeah. It's bad.
Anyway, not a great way to cap the summer, but Hollywood needs to do better. They need to put out better movies that people want to go see.
And less tentpole freaking, tied in bullshit. Give me something new.
Give me something that's not the part 15. And at this point, I think that's what Wonder Woman worked so well and worked better than Spider-Man and all these other ones this year. It's because there was no subtitle to it. It was just Wonder Woman. You had nothing to know. Yeah. You could just walk in, walk out. I think people are going back to...
It's
going to
be the first movie I buy in like 5 years, like 3 years, sure. I think.
Oh, wow.
I don't think I've bought much of anything else online or either. Maybe this or that here or there, but that's like the first one I walked out of the theater going, I'm going to own that.
Yeah, the only three things that I buy automatically now are Star Wars Episode, James Bond, or the Christopher Nolan. Those are the three things I go buy.
Right. Thank you, Lobster. Come on.
Nerds.
So I just bought Star Wars.
They released
actually,
it all
episode.
Again in black and white. I bought it.
I did. I just bought Star Wars on Blu-ray. Episode 7, not Rogue One. Ugh.
I have Episode 7. Yeah. I do have that, and I just steal my friend's Rogue One if I want to watch it.
All right. Do you want to do the big news or the little news first? Because I only have two news stories, so, and I know which one the big news is, so tell me.
Yeah, let's start with my news, and then we'll go to...
All right. So the big news, and I say that this is the big news, because... it's the wing news. Do you want to tell us about this one, Nightwing?
Well, CW casted a pretty boy to play Nightwing. And
well, not CW, though.
Well, it's the same producing people, basically.
Yeah, it's going to be on their streaming service.
Yeah.
Yes, but
it's
you
Greg
say
Berlanti.
Pretty boy excitedly. Are you okay with this or not?
Of course. Nightwing is the pretty boy of the DC universe. If you go online, there's a website dedicated to Nightwing's butt.
Yeah, but that's it. He doesn't have to be a pretty boy. He just has to have a nice ass.
Nice ass and a nice smile. This guy, I saw this guy in a couple of an interview.
This guy's got a nice chin for sure.
Yeah, he's perfect. He's perfect for the classic version of Dick Grayson. Now that we have the perfect version of Dick Grayson on TV, like they seem to do pretty well now, I kind of hope that when they do it on the movie, they're going to go like out of bound, because you can do a lot of things with Dick Grayson. One of the things they were saying that they might cast Asian for the movie, and I find it's a great idea. So, an Asian.
For Dick Grayson?
And an Asian person.
Okay. I don't know if he meant the Haitian again.
The Haitian.
He said
Whoa,
that before.
Why not?
He said that before.
The Haitian.
Since we're talking,
we're
talking DC,
sure.
Yesterday on the holiday, as we record this, watched a shit ton of movies, and I watched Suicide Squad again.
Did you immediately feel compelled to commit the title act?
No, it's not a horrible movie. It's just a lot longer than it should be towards the end.
Mm-hmm.
It's a guilty pleasure in the end.
I think
it's weird.
I think it's also a horrible movie.
It is. Yeah, but I mean, it's okay. You're right. As a person from Art House Legends, it is not a good movie or a piece of cinema, but it is, it's a guilty pleasure. It's a popcorn flick.
I love it because of that. It's a music video, DC comic kind of crazy.
I still don't think they give you enough love with each character, even though they give you too much love with some characters.
Like Rope Agreed. Burn.
Agreed, but just take it as a
Rope
ride.
Burn?
It's
yeah,
great.
Rope Burn, the guy whose thing is ropes, and then he's like introduced as an afterthought.
Oh,
and
you
then,
know, and then he's going to die right away. Hey, let's
immediately the red shirt.
Hey, let's sneak away.
I don't know what his real character's name is, but I always called him Rope Burn because
it's Slipknot. You know, and his original appearance was exactly that. They recruit him, they make a big deal out of him in the comic, and then second panel they use him to
climb anywhere. Blah blah blah.
Yep.
Yeah. But no, I don't know.
That's his only function is to get killed for you to know that it's true.
It's so wrong, but it's they could take 20 minutes out of there, and I would have about 10% more fun with it.
So,
but it's still good.
Before we go on to other news, again, Brenton Thwaites is playing Nightwing.
Wow,
this
says
is
Wing.
Cool. Yeah. There's also been bandied about within the past week that there are two Joker movies in development at DC. One would be a spinoff of Suicide Squad with Jared Leto and Margot Robbie as Joker and Harley Quinn.
Robbie, you
and
get then, her name okay. right. You what? Get her name right, sir.
My
Robbie. And then another, Gangsterland Joker origin story, possibly with Leonardo DiCaprio.
Okay, Beef, can I get a soapbox?
Can I say 2 seconds before you do?
Sure, then pass me the soapbox.
Yep, I think we talked about this a couple weeks ago. When this is the one you're talking with Martin Scorsese, right? Scorsese, whoever, blah, blah,
yes.
blah.
Get the name right.
You're right. I'm sorry. I've been drinking. You haven't.
All right. Go ahead. This is the one.
I think I don't know about Leonardo. I like his acting, but the way I like the Scorsese thing, I'm like, I don't need another Joker origin story. But to have Scorsese do it kind of like a mob thing, I think I would like that. But and we said that last week or the week before. But now this, I think this lessens my want for it. Wing, I shall slide you the soapbox. Shink.
Oh. Chunk. Thank you. By the way, I'm not against the idea of all these movies. Why I need this soapbox is that I think that right now in Hollywood, it's the same problem with the White House. There's too many leakers, and that's the problem. I know people at Warner and everything, and they've been developing a bunch of different scripts on a bunch of different characters for years, and nobody was hearing anything about it. And now, all of a sudden, these things come out.
Deadpool syndrome?
Maybe Deadpool syndrome. But now, all these ideas come out at the same time, which basically blurb totally the web media space, where all I hear about is Ben Affleck going to come back or not come back? Is this going to be in the DCU? Or you? At this point, I don't give a fuck. Just give me a list of movies, and we'll see when we get there. But yeah. They've been developing different Batman versions. There was one where it was a mechanic with Alfred. I mean, they've done that for years. Now, okay, they have the idea to go to like a known producer, not director, producer, Scorsese. And I want to point out, we just watched Inner Space produced by Steven Spielberg from the producing mind of Transformers.
Do you think, real quick, that it's not that they kind of lose their way with it? I don't know how to formulate what I'm trying to say. But they keep once the Deadpool effect gets out, right?
Yeah.
And then they go, okay, well that works. So then a bunch of these people who have these scripts drop these hints, and then they kind of lose it. It gets muddled in all the background noise. Instead of hearing about a couple cool scripts that go forward, something you want to see, now all of a sudden in 6 months you hear about the teenage or late teen Harley Quinn and Joker spinoff story. And then you'll hear about back in my day, I used to fight Batman. Like, you'll hear about that spinoff story. Is it like they all get muddled because there's too much?
I think it's because people really want continuity because of Marvel. And I'm starting to hate Marvel for that.
Me too.
Well, I think that there's, to a certain extent, there's this let the internet be your focus group. If you're not sure
the trolls of the internet.
Well, okay, but if you're not sure which script you should move on to the development phase or which pitch you should move on to the script phase or whatever, see which one gets the most retweets. It's a really easy way for them to crowdsource these decisions. And then when they make it and it flops, they can go, well, we gave the people what they wanted.
And the other thing is that look at everything that DC announced and look at how many movies actually get in production. They had like Gotham City Siren at some point that was supposed to be written and directed by the same guy that did Suicide Squad. We don't hear about that anymore. They supposedly have a Nightwing movie in production. We don't hear about that anymore. And they supposedly had a Batgirl movie a year ago.
Looper they had three movies planned and ready to go.
Yeah, exactly.
What about not Avatar Looper, not Looper, not 4, Looper. 5, and 6? Not Where's Looper. My Avatar
Sorry.
Movies?
Sorry, Jumper. Sorry, meant Jumper.
But point is, like, these things happen, but because of the DC Universe now and people, like, I don't know why all that stuff leaks, we see every phase of production, and people take that as announcement where it's...
Yeah.
It's yes, okay. It's real news because Deadline or Variety or the Hollywood Reporter gets a real source. But there's so many development phase to a movie that before it gets crap. I mean, Justice League with the guy from Mad Max had costume and people cast when they canceled. You know.
And there's also a little bit mentioning Justice League. There's also a little bit of. When we're talking about this, we're not talking about what the mess of Justice League is right now. Like we're distracted. The internet news cycle is feasting on Joker spinoff movie news and not saying like what exactly is Joss Whedon doing right now?
Well, he's co-writer now.
Well, but that's he's right. I mean, it's all what the internet, whatever type of news you decide to watch, if it's geek news or this or that, or it's, you know, the shark attack du jour of the summer the missing person of the summer.
So much of this stuff comes out and we do a weekly podcast. So we'll just pick the two or three big headlines, knowing that by the time the episode gets released, it may or may not be verified or debunked or whatever.
Well, we just dropped 10 episodes in a row, so the news from June have probably been debunked a while ago.
But in like four months or a year, when all of a sudden we hear about this movie's actually getting made or something, we're going to be like, I remember talking about that. I didn't think this shit was actually going to happen.
Do you remember when they were making a movie with a raccoon in a tree?
Go fuck yourself. I ate so much crow on that. And I love that. That's probably my favorite movie in the last 5 years for Marvel.
And do you remember the first time we talked about a remake of The Crow? That wasn't the first news.
Did you also eat crow on that one?
No, but it's fun. No, I thought about it today because it's the first newscast that I did with Beef. And today they re-announced that that same reboot from 7 years ago is going back to production with Jason Momoa.
Hooray! Like,
oh, we've been casting 7 years. I cringe.
6 with you, but yeah.
The first episode's now off your credit report. Let's switch gears and talk about Star Wars.
Oh, hey, ready
Star Wars
to cry?
Did the Star Wars thing again.